All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're taking a closer look at a case that really brings up some interesting stuff in environmental law.
Okay.
Specifically, the Endangered Species Act, the ESA.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at United States versus Chad Kirch McKittrick.
Okay.
And we've got all of our sources here laid out. You know the drill. We're going to break it down for all of our listeners, especially those of you who are in law school.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like your cheat sheet for understanding some of the nuances of the ESA.
Right.
And how courts interpret it.
Of course.
And we're going to use a real world example, a real court case.
Absolutely.
And we're going to dig into some key questions.
Okay.
Like, what exactly is the reach of agency authority? What does it mean to have criminal intent when you're talking about crimes against wildlife? And we're also going to look at all the different ways that courts sort of pick apart these laws
right.
and how they apply them.
Yeah.
So get ready for some legal clarity.
For sure. This McKittrick case, it really brings up some questions that are at the very core of wildlife protection.
Okay.
Like, can the Fish and Wildlife Service, the FWS, can they legally bring in wolves from Canada to Yellowstone and protect them under the ESA?
Mm.
And then did Chad McKittrick, you know, the guy in this case, did he have to know that he was shooting at a wolf that was protected under the ESA to be guilty of a crime?
Right.
And I think most importantly, what does this whole case tell us about how the legal system views the different parts of a wildlife crime? Like the actual taking of the animal, possessing it, and transporting it.
Okay.
Those are things we're going to unpack today.
All right. So let's start at the beginning.
Sure.
What exactly happened? Who is this guy, Chad McKittrick?
Okay. So back in the mid-90s, Chad McKittrick was living in Montana.
Okay.
And he shot and killed a gray wolf.
Hmm.
But this wasn't just any gray wolf. This was one of those Canadian gray wolves that the Fish and Wildlife Service had brought down and reintroduced into Yellowstone National Park.
Okay.
And they did this under a special provision of the Endangered Species Act called Section 10J.
Okay.
Which lets them designate what's called an experimental population.
Hmm.
And after he shot the wolf, McKittrick skinned it and kept the hide.
Okay, so after that, after he shot the wolf and then possessed it, did that lead to some legal problems?
Yeah, for sure. McKittrick ended up facing a bunch of charges.
Okay.
Like taking an endangered species, possessing it, and transporting it.
Okay.
And these charges were brought under the Endangered Species Act, the ESA.
Okay.
But also under the Lacey Act.
Right.
Which a lot of you studying environmental law will know about.
Right.
But essentially, it prohibits trading in wildlife that was taken illegally.
Okay. Now, what did McKittrick say to defend himself against all these charges?
Well, he had a couple main arguments.
Okay.
First, he said that the specific wolf he shot wasn't actually protected by the ESA.
Mm-hmm.
And then he argued that even if it was, he didn't know it was a wolf when he shot it.
Right.
Maybe he thought it was a coyote or something.
Okay. I see. Now, let's dig into that first argument a bit more.
Okay.
The one about these experimental populations and the ESA.
Yeah.
Because I think for a lot of people, maybe especially those who are just starting to learn about environmental law, it's not immediately obvious why shooting a Canadian gray wolf in Montana would violate the Endangered Species Act.
Right.
Because Canadian gray wolves, they're not endangered everywhere, are they?
That's a good point. And it shows how the ESA works.
Okay.
It's not just about where a species comes from or even if it's endangered globally.
Mm.
It can also be about where a specific population of that species is located.
Okay.
So in this case, the Fish and Wildlife Service, they use their power under Section 10J of the ESA to make these reintroduced Canadian wolves in the Yellowstone area an experimental population.
Okay.
So once those wolves were inside this specific zone or had left that zone, they were considered protected under the ESA.
So it really comes down to where the animal is, not whether that species is endangered somewhere else in the world.
Exactly. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they looked at this case. And they agreed that the FWS could designate these experimental populations.
Mm.
And they upheld that authority, even though the wolves came from Canada, where they're not endangered.
Okay.
The court really focused on the big picture of conservation, the goals that Congress had in mind when they created the ESA.
Mm.
It's all about protecting species that are endangered or threatened and the ecosystems they depend on.
Okay.
And bringing wolves back to Yellowstone was seen as supporting that goal.
Okay.
And there's even specific regulation, 50 CFR, section 17.843, that spells out the protections for these experimental wolves.
Okay, so that clears up the FWS's side of things.
Right.
So let's move on to McKittrick's other argument now.
Right.
The one where he said he didn't know it was a wolf. This brings up that important idea of what lawyers call mens rea, criminal intent.
Yeah.
So what did the court have to say about whether McKittrick had to know that it was a protected wolf?
This is a huge part of the case, because it really gets at how we enforce wildlife laws.
Okay.
McKittrick basically argued that to be guilty under the ESA, the prosecution had to prove that he knew he was shooting a gray wolf.
Hmm.
And that he knew it was protected.
Okay.
But the court disagreed with that.
Okay.
They said that when the ESA says knowingly, in the context of taking an endangered species, it's talking about the act of taking itself.
Okay.
The actual shooting of the animal, not knowing exactly what kind of animal it is or if it's protected.
So the knowingly part is about pulling the trigger, not knowing every detail about what you're aiming at.
That's right. The court basically said that if someone decides to shoot an animal and they do it knowingly, then they can be held responsible under the ESA if that animal happens to be a protected species.
Mm.
Even if they thought it was something else, like a coyote. This sets what's called a general intent standard.
Okay.
For this type of misdemeanor offense under the ESA.
Mm.
The prosecution, they don't have to prove that McKittrick knew he was shooting at a specific protected wolf. Only that he knew he was shooting at an animal.
I see. That's an important distinction.
Yes.
And it seems like it would have a big impact on how these types of cases, these wildlife crimes, are prosecuted.
For sure. It really does. If the standard was what we call specific intent, where the prosecution had to prove that McKittrick knew he was shooting a protected wolf, it would be way harder to get convictions in these cases.
Right.
Because how do you prove what someone was thinking when they pulled the trigger?
Okay.
This ruling shows how serious the law is about protecting endangered species and the consequences for harming them, even if the person didn't know for sure that the animal was protected.
Okay. Now, McKittrick was charged with a few things, right?
Yeah.
Taking the wolf, possessing it, and transporting it.
Right.
He argued that these were all basically part of the same act, and that charging him with all of these things violated his protection against double jeopardy, being punished multiple times for the same crime.
Right.
So how did the court address that argument?
They didn't buy it. They said that taking, possessing, and transporting are all distinct actions under the law.
Okay.
And each one causes a separate harm,
hmm.
both under the ESA and the Lacey Act.
Okay.
So think about it like this. The act of shooting and killing the wolf, the taking, that's a violation right there.
Mm.
But then keeping the wolf's hide, that's possessing it, and then moving it from one place to another, transporting it, those are separate actions.
Okay.
And those are also violations.
Okay.
And the court specifically referred to the actual text of the laws. 16 U.S.C. sections 3372A1
mm-hmm.
and 3373B2
uh-huh.
through 3
okay.
for the Lacey Act, and then 16 U.S.C. sections 138A1G and 1540B1
okay.
for the ESA. All of those laws, they list these actions,
yeah.
taking, possessing, and transporting, as separate things you're not allowed to do.
Yep.
Each one can have its own penalty.
Yeah.
So the court said there's no double jeopardy problem here.
So basically, they saw it as a series of separate illegal actions rather than just one long crime.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know sometimes when a court makes a decision, you have judges who agree with the outcome.
Right.
But they might have different reasons for getting there.
Right.
Was that the case here with McKittrick?
Yeah, it was. Judge O'Scanlan, he was on the Ninth Circuit panel that heard the case.
Okay.
He agreed with the court's decision to uphold the conviction.
Okay.
But his focus was more on the actual words of the Endangered Species Act.
Ah, so like a more literal interpretation of the law.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Judge O'Scanlan really zeroed in on the phrase in the ESA that talks about wholly separate geographic populations.
Okay.
When they're talking about creating experimental populations.
Mm.
He thought this meant distinct groups of animals, not just individual animals.
Hmm.
He also pointed out that any times wolves might have been seen in Yellowstone before they were reintroduced
okay.
didn't mean there was already a population there.
Okay.
So even though he agreed that the wolf McKittrick shot was protected, he got there by sticking very closely to the wording of the ESA.
Right.
Instead of looking at the broader goals of conservation like the majority opinion did.
Mm.
This really highlights the debate between textualism, focusing on the exact words of the law, and a more purposive approach, where you consider the bigger picture of what the law is trying to achieve.
It's a classic legal debate.
It is.
It is.
And it's a key thing for any law student to wrap their head around.
For sure. Now, the case also involved sentencing, right? And
Yes.
I think part of the lower court's decision got overturned.
That's right.
What happened there?
So the appeals court upheld the conviction, but they sent the sentencing part back to the lower court to look at again.
Okay.
The issue was whether McKittrick should have gotten a lighter sentence for acceptance of responsibility,
Okay.
which is a part of the U.S. sentencing guidelines.
Right.
He admitted to shooting an animal, but he always said he didn't know it was a wolf. The appeals court, they were worried that the judge who first sentenced McKittrick might have mixed up admitting to the act of shooting with actually showing remorse and taking responsibility for killing a protected gray wolf. They
Okay.
told the lower court to take another look at whether McKittrick should still get that sentencing reduction, even though he kept saying he didn't know it was a wolf.
So it's not just enough to admit what happened. You
Right.
have to understand and admit that what you did was wrong under the specific law you broke.
Exactly.
That's pretty nuanced.
It is.
It gets at the defendant's state of mind.
Right.
Did they really get what they did wrong?
And if they accept the legal consequences
Okay.
for breaking that particular law.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into United States versus Chad Kirch McKittrick,
Yeah.
what are the big takeaways here?
Okay, here are the most important things to remember.
Okay.
First, this case really shows the broad power that agencies like the Fish and Wildlife Service have under the ESA,
Oh.
especially when it comes to making these experimental populations and protecting them, even if those animals came from somewhere else where they're not endangered.
Okay.
Second, it shows how courts interpret criminal intent in cases that involve protecting wildlife, setting a general intent standard for this particular crime,
Okay.
meaning that the government just has to prove that the person knew they were doing the act, in this case, shooting,
Right.
not that they knew all the details about the animal.
Okay.
Third, Judge O'Scanlan's opinion gives us a good example of how there are different ways to interpret laws.
Okay.
Textualism, where you focus on the exact words,
Right.
versus a more purposive approach, looking at the overall goals of the law.
That's a big one for sure.
It is. And then finally, the whole issue of sentencing. It really shows that you have to understand all the fine details of the sentencing guidelines and what acceptance of responsibility really means.
Right.
Now, we also need to specifically remember Section 10J of the ESA. That's the legal basis for these experimental populations.
Okay.
And you really need to understand the difference between general intent, knowing you're doing the act,
Okay.
and specific intent, knowing the specific status of the animal you're affecting.
Right.
We also see kind of implicitly how much deference the courts give to agencies,
Okay.
like how they respected the way the FWS interpreted the ESA when they set up this experimental population.
Lots of important lessons here for future lawyers.
Definitely.
All right, here's a final thought for you all listening out there.
Okay.
Given this ruling, you know, that you don't necessarily have to know that an animal is protected to get in trouble for harming it.
Yeah.
What does that mean for people who are in places where protected species might be, even if the species aren't usually found there? And thinking bigger, how could this case affect conservation efforts in the future
Right.
and the legal challenges they might face?
That's a great question.
It really makes you think.
It does. How
United States versus Chad Kirch McKittrick, a very important case if you want to understand environmental law. The
Absolutely.
fine points of legal interpretation and the challenges of protecting our
It
wildlife.
really is.